Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Bava Kamma Daf Samach Gimel. We are towards the bottom of Samach Beis Amud Beis, but perhaps for clarity's sake, let's just back up to the beginning of this section in the Gemara. So it's Samach Beis Amud Beis at the two dots, which are 10 lines off the bottom of the Amud. So the Mishnah says, "Midas tashlumei keifel neheges v'chulu." This double payment, you know, penalty that a ganav, that a thief will pay upon being convicted. So he pays double what he took. This pretty much applies to anything that he may have taken, whether it's a living being, just an item. How do we know, in fact, this is so? That keifel applies to any item that he stole. The Tanur Rabbanan, we have a brisa which focuses on a pasuk, which begins with the words al kol dvar pesha, which actually is not really speaking about an actual thief, rather a toyein ta'anas ganav, which we're going to learn about in today's daf. It involves a shomer, a person who was entrusted with an item. He betrayed his trust. He stole it. So when the owner came back to collect it, he says, well, sorry, it was stolen. It turns out that he himself pocketed the item. He turned into a sort of a thief. In which case, if that's discovered, he pays kefil. So he's sort of a ganav. So we equate the aloha of a ganav to the aloha of the shomer, who is a toin tanas ganav, on which we have a pasuk which says like this: al kol dvar pesha, for any violation, for any thievery, which is a very general term, right? Klal includes any type of item that he may have stolen. Then we have a very specific list: al shor, al chamor, an ox, a donkey, al sev, al salm, a sheep, or an article of clothing, prat. Here we have specifics. Then we have another general, all-inclusive term: al kol aveda, chazar v'kol. So this gives us a klal, uprat, uklal, that three-step formula, which allows us to include anything that can be equated to these specifics, anything that contains, you know, elements that are similar to those specific items. Yatadon, elke, and aprat, you can only include something which is similar to those specific examples, which is ma haprat mefurosh davar hametaltel. We'll go for a moment. What elements do we find? Which characteristics do we see in those specifics? Metaltel, something which moves. Gufay mamon, it has inherent value. Af kol davar metaltel, gufay mamon. Likewise, any other thing which contains the same elements, has the same characteristics, it's metaltel, it's gufay mamon. You pay kefil for any of those. As opposed to what? What's excluded? What's off the list? Something which does not feature any of these elements. Yatsuka kois, as opposed to properties. So a thief chases somebody off his land. There's no kefil. She'en and metatlin, because it's not something which moves. Yotzo avadim shuk shulka kurs. We exclude an evet kanani as well, because the Torah equates it to karka. It's considered like an estate. Yotzo shtaris, as opposed to documents as well. Sha'ava bishim metatlin. This has the metatl element. It's a move, it's mobile, but it doesn't have inherent value. It's meant to, you know, use it to collect money, but it's not ein gufan mamon. And finally, that's a hegdish. You don't pay kefil for stealing something from hegdish. Re'eu k'siv, because the pasuk by the ganav mentions re'eu, your equal, your friend, as opposed to hegdish. Okay, so this is what we got to yesterday. Continues the Gemara. I have a kasha on this. How could you include anything? Pretty much anything. Ima prat mufurosh, davar shenevlasi mitami b'magav b'masa. And when it comes to living beings, to balei chayim, to animals that were stolen, perhaps we have to equate them to the animals mentioned on this list, which is Ishair v'chamor. And what's unique about those two animals? If they die, they're nevelas metame by way of touching, maga, and by way of carrying, and masa. Av kol davar shenivlasim metame b'maga b'masa. So fine, you include others that have the same ability to transfer tumor through contact or through carrying. But aval oifa islai, but perhaps birds are not included. Fowl doesn't have that ability to be metami b'mag b'masa. Well, says the Gemara, u'mimot says amr sachi, how could you suggest to rule out anything that cannot be metami b'mag b'masa? What do you mean, v'asal moksiv? The pasuk mentions articles of clothing as well. That's not something that's metami b'mag b'masa. So what do you mean? Well, says the Gemara, I didn't mean that. that far. Amri, so the response given was, Anan bebali chayim kamrinan. Of course, kefil applies to even articles of clothing. We're not going there. We're just saying like this. When it comes to living beings, living creatures like animals, let's compare them to the animals mentioned on this list, the shor v'chamor, emo. We should say like this, bebali chayim, when it comes to bali chayim that were stolen, you need something which is specific. Dovar she'nivlosei mitamei magen b'maasein, only something that has that characteristic. Dovar she'nivlosei mitamei magen b'maasein, but something that doesn't get included. Why are we saying that? The hokol chad v'chad klal uprat ba'apei nafshi dafshin elei. Because, you know, this is a very unique combination. We have many pratim, many details, many specific items. Right? So let's not just lump it all together and say, well, anything that compares to any of these specifics works. No. Each one should be dealt with separately. And when it comes to balei chayim, comes to animals or right living things that were stolen, let's compare them to the animals in this list, shor v'chamor, which have the maga or b'masa, but not aval eifes loy, but not birds. That's a solid question. Says the Gemara, okay, in Cain, because if that were true, nichtev rachman achat prata. If the point is to compare other balei chayim to shor and chamor, let us just say one of these two, either shor or chamor, and we'll know that the other balei chayim have to be comparable to the shor or the chamor. The fact that Torah mentions two balei chayim, shor and chamor, tells you that you can broaden your horizons. It doesn't have to be completely comparable to the shor v'chamor. Well, says the Gemara, Hai nichtav rachmana, which one should it say? Which one would suffice? Ikos of rachmana shor. No, we need both. There is a reason. Because if the Torah would just say shor, havamina, I would say, well, you know what's unique about a shor? Can be brought as a carbon. Korev v'lgabi mizbech in. So, kefa only applies to something that has the potential to be brought as a carbon. She'ein. Korev l'gabim is ve'achloi, but something which cannot be brought as a carbon doesn't qualify. That's why it says chamor as well. Chamor can't be brought as a carbon, right? Because of rachmana chamor, and likewise, if we only say chamor, I would say, well, that's special. Havamina, I would think kodesh be'bechira in, only an animal which has the potential to have the kedusha of a bechira, like a chamor, firstborn chamor has a kedusha. So only that type of animal or a kosher animal which has Kedushas Bechor, Kodesh B'Bechor in, only there does Kefal apply. Shein Kodesh B'Bechor Eloi, but if it doesn't have that Kedushas Bechor, like a horse, there's no Kefal. So perhaps that's why the Torah had to specify, had to spell out Shor and Chamor, nothing's extra. Well, Amri, the answer given was, Imkain, if it was for that reason alone, Nichtav Rachmona Shor V'Chamor, then the Torah would just say those two, Shor and Chamor, to teach you these points. But remember, we have the third animal mentioned on the list as well, which is the seh, the sheep. Lomali, why do we need that for? Apparently, to broaden our horizons and to allow all animals on this list, shmamino lasui eifes, to include fowl as well. Well, ve'ema lasui eifes tahirim. Do me the seh. Perhaps we'll include eifes, but only those that are kosher, like a seh, which is kosher. Dimitame b'godim abeis ablia. And what's special about oifos that are tor, because although an oif, when he dies, is not metame b'magu b'maso, but there's a halacha called metame b'godim b'beis avliya. A person eats an oif that died, so while he's swallowing it, his b'godim become tame in the beis avliya, while the food is going down his throat. Aval oifos tmeim d'leisbu tuma, but when it comes to non-kosher birds that don't have any ability to transfer tuma, right? Through this idea of a base ablia. Right? So perhaps aval eifes tmeim the lesbu tuma d'loy mitami, right? Begodim a base ablia. Rashi says there's no tuma at all by eifes tmeim. Right? So perhaps kefal does not apply. They're not going to be included on the kefal list. So we're sort of stuck now. Okay, you found a source for pretty much anything, but what about oifes tmeim? Well, says the Gemara, koil when it says al kol dvar pesha, kol is a very broad term, kol ribuyohu. So instead of working with the klal prat and specifying and limiting, everything is included, kol ribuyohu. Well, says the Gemara, really? Whenever it says kol v'chaleicha dechsev kol ribuyohu, it's all inclusive? V'agabi maser. You may remember we had this same Gemara, almost word for word, a couple of weeks ago. The same idea with the kol, with the maser. V'agabi maser. When it comes to spending maser sheni money Yerushalayim, dechsev kol, it says the word kol is there as well. And we still limit it. V'kadar shinalei b'chalo prat. We apply the klalom prat formula to limit things, to give you specific instructions in terms of what to spend your maser sheni money on. The sanya, we have this brisa which focuses on the words in the pasuk v'nasata kesef. So a person converted the kedusha of the maser sheni, threw it onto money, take the money to Yerushalayim, you spend it on what? Something which is edible, something which belongs on a very specific list. V'nasata kesef b'koila shete aven afshecha. So b'koil is a klal, all inclusive. Then it has specifics: b'bakar, u'betzoyin, u'beyayin, u'beshecha, right? Animals, wine, beer, prat. Those are specific items. U'bechol, asher teshochan afshecha. That's again chazer v'kolal, an all-inclusive term which gives us that three-step formula: klal, u'prat, u'klal. And you can include something which is, you know, similar, which shares some of the elements in the on this list. With the items on the list, yatadan elkein aprat, you can include things which are similar, which resemble the specifics here, which is like this: ma prat mefurush. Just like the pratim, the details are very specific in terms of the fact that they contain the following elements. So we have the bakar, the tzoin, the yain, the shechar. Those four things are all unique in a sense that they share the following elements. Primipri, they're a fruit, they're an offspring, something produced by another thing that's been produced as well. So let's say an animal, which is a pri, coming from the mother, which is also a pri of its own mother. Wine is a pri, produced from grapes, which comes off the vine. Vigdula karka, and likewise, they all nurture from the ground, either directly off the ground, or they sort of feed on the ground. So that's the common denominator amongst these items. Afkoil, same thing regarding anything else. You want to include something else, it has to conform to this type of characteristic. It has to be primi priva gedulei karka. There you go. So we broaden the list. We don't just stay with these four, but we're still limiting, despite the fact that it says b'koil, right? It says b'choil asher ta'aven avshecha. And you just told me that the koil is an all-encompassing term. Amri's, the answer given was like this. Big difference between koil and bakoil. When it says bakoil klal, that's a klal. We broaden it, right? We expand it, but not unlimited. Koil ribuyu, but the word koil is different. That's all-encompassing. And when it comes to kefal, we include anything. Vibayisim, another option can be koil klaluhu. Typically, even koil is just a klal, it's a general term, but it's not all-inclusive. Miu, but still, koil dehacha ribuyuhu. Over here by kefal, the word koil includes everything. Why? Because it's an extra word, evidently coming to broaden it and include every item. Michti ksiv meikara. You see, initially, we already have a klal prata klal. Klal or prata klal dechsiv, regarding stealing, regarding kefal, ki iti nishal re'eyu. Klal, it's a klal. Right, he gave him something to watch, pretty much anything. Kesev oikelim, monies or utensils, that's a specific list, that's prat. Then it says lishmar, to guard, to watch. Hadavakal. Once again, it's a broader term. So we already have this idea of klal prat to klal when it comes to the shomer, who betrayed his trust, who stole. V'yisal gadai techai, al kol dvar pesha nami l'chal prato da'asa. So if you're going to tell me that the next pasuk, al kol dvar pesha, which is the focus of our sugya, is once again coming to repeat the same formula, klal prata klal, to give us a limited list in terms of potential items for kefal application. Nichtav rachman alani prati gabi haich klal uprat. So these details that we had in our pasuk, shor and chamer, se and so, should have been written back up there in the first pasuk with the other klal prat. Al kol dvar pesha lamali. So why does the Why do we have this new pasuk called Varpesha, which is sort of repetitious? Shema Mino Ribuyu, apparently, the point is to teach us that we're not limiting the kefal items. We want to include everything. But now back to the question. Fine, Ribuyu, you've included everything, but Hashad the Amr's Koil Ribuya. So once Koil, a Koil Varpesha includes everything, so then why do we need those specific items, those specific examples of Shur and Chamer and Se and Salma? Koil Hani Prati Lamadi, what's the point of mentioning all these details? If in any case you're including everything in Kefal. Answer is, we're leaving out some very, very, you know, very few items. Chad Lamuti Karka, V'chad Lamuti Avodim, V'chad Lamuti Shtoris. One of these specific examples is coming to exclude Karka from Kefal. One is Avodim, one is Shtoris. What about the fourth thing? Salma, the article of clothing mentioned in the Pasuk, Lamuti Davashin Masuyim, is also coming to exclude something which the owner can't necessarily prove that it's his. Rashi says the Baal doesn't have a siman in it, so there's no kefal on account of the ganav. Taisis has a kasha, who cares if he has a siman or not? So anyways, Taisis has a different pshat. He says Dover Sheinu Masuyim means it doesn't have a set, you know, value. It doesn't remember exactly how much it was. You know, was it 3 pounds of flour, 4? So you can't obligate kefal on account of these uncertainties. He has to have a very specific claim, and only then can he generate, you know, trigger the kefal repercussion. What about alkol aveda? So we said alkol dvar pesha is marba everything. The pratim, the four of them, have each one of a specific role to exclude something. What about the last part of the pasuk? Alkol dvar aveda. Alkol aveda. That's coming for another purpose. Because Rav Chiya ba'aba. Not only does a shamer end up paying kefal if he betrayed his trust and he stole the item under his care. If a person found an aveda, lost item, owner comes running, where is it? Oh, it was stolen. Turns out it was stolen by him. He pays kefal as well. So this lashon I'll call aveda includes even an aveda, a lost item which was stolen by its finder. It's not awesome. We have a Mishnah which reads like this: Heichan piktoini, where's my deposit that I gave you? Amar le avi, says, sorry, it was stolen. It was lost, not stolen, lost. Mashpiachani, okay, I'm imposing an oath on you. Va'amar amin, says, sure, I agree, I accept the oath. Ve'edim mi'idim oisesh achle. A minute later, two witnesses come running. What do you mean? You stole it. You ate it. Mishalom is akeren. There's no kefal because he never pretended that it was lost. He never claimed that it was stolen. That it was stolen. He claimed that it was lost. So at most he pays the actual keren, the actual principal, but no more. Suppose instead of the edim coming, he admitted on his own that I swore falsely, that I really took it myself. Mishalom keren v'chaymish v'asham. That's the halacha of the keren, the chaymish, the extra fifth, and the asham, the carbon that it brings. Because when one person admits, then he triggers the keren v'chaymish asham system. But this is all because he just claimed that it was lost. But if he claims that it was stolen, that's the, you know, topic of our sugya. So that takes us into the next case. Heichan pikdoni, where's my item? Amalai Nigram, he says, sorry, it was stolen in the middle of the night. Mashpiachani, okay, here's a shvua, I agree. Va'edim idim ma'isa shagonva. Edim come and say he stole it. Now comes Mashalm tashlami kefal, he pays double. But if he admits on his own, Mashalm karen v'chaymish v'asham, he pays only karen v'chaymish v'asham because kefal only gets triggered by the edim. Bottom line, p'tonimiyah, what do we see from here? P'toyin tanas ganav, when a person falsely claimed that it was stolen from him, the mishalom tashlami kefal, that triggers a double payment. Avo betoyen tanas avad loy mishalom tashlami kefal, but if he pretended it was lost and it was discovered that he took it, there's no kefal payment. That's number one. So toyen tanas ganav, yes, kefal. Toyen tanas avad, no kefal. Number two, afilu toyen tanas ganav, even in that we say bishvua with the mishalom tashlami kefal, only if he exonerated himself with a shvua and then it was discovered that he stole, then he pays the kefal. Ava shalei b'shvua, there's no shvua involved, ain't a mishalom tashlami kefal, there's no kefal. So one that only a tiny town is gone of pays kevel. Two, only if he did a shvuah. How do we know that these things are true? We have a brisa of focusing on the pasuk im yimotze hagan. So again, we're speaking that a person was entrusted with an item. Turns out that it was stolen. We claimed it was stolen. We discovered the ganav. We found him. Says the Gemara, no, actually, who's the ganav? The man himself, the shomer himself. We're speaking that the shomer pretended it was stolen. It was discovered that he was a thief. And there's kefil to be paid in this case. So you're suggesting that this is the case of the pasuk. Perhaps it's speaking about an actual thief, not a toyin tanas ganat, a shomer who pretended thievery. But then we have another pasuk. The ganav was not discovered, was not found. So that pasuk is speaking about a real ganav. Apparently, this pasuk over here, yimatzah ganav, is b'toyin tanas ganav akasim medaber, apparently speaking about a toyin tanas ganav. So according to this brisa, the pasuk im yimotzei ganav is a toyin tanas ganav. The pasuk im lo yimotzei ganav is a ganav himself. Tani idach, we have another brisa which disagrees. Both are speaking about the same person who is a toyin tanas ganav. Im yimotzei ganav is so according to this brisa, im yimotzei ganav is a toyin tanas ganav, and im lo yimotzei ganav is going on kishu oimer. But then we have a pasuk im lo yimotzei ganav, and the Gemara later will prove that this is talking about a toyin tanas ganav. Right, it was discovered that it wasn't as he pretended. There was no real ganav; it was really him. So that's the classic case of a toyin tanas ganav. That teaches us havi oimer, says the Bach. We have to add the words havi oimer. That proves to us that in fact the first pasuk as well, b'toyin tanas ganav, because medaber is discussing a person who falsely pretended that it was stolen from him. Turns out it was discovered that he was the ganav. So according to this brisa, both psukim, im yimotzei ganav and the pasuk of im lo yimotzei ganav, involve a toyin tanas ganav. Tani, we have another brisa which disagrees. Im yimotzei ganav, that's going to be ganav atzmei kasei medaber, the thief himself, a person really stole, not a toyin tanas ganav. Be ganav atzmei kasei medaber. Ah, toyin be ganav atzmei. You're suggesting that we're speaking about a regular thief. Maybe it's a toyin tanas ganav. No, we already have a pasuk for that. When the pasuk says im lo yimotzei ganav, which is clearly a shomer pretended that there was a break-in, so that's already been addressed in that pasuk. Hari toyin tanas ganav omer. So that pasuk addresses a toyin tanas ganav. Ha'mani mekayim im yimotzei ganav. So what is the pasuk addressing when it says im yimotzei ganav? Beganav atzmi, akasim medaber, a plain thief. So bottom line is, the kuli yalma miyas all seem to agree that im lo yimotzei ganav, that pasuk is certainly going on a shomer. Betoyin tanas ganav ksiv. My mashma. Where do we see any indication of a toyin tanas ganav in this pasuk? Amar Rav, it means like this. Im lo yimotzei kamasha amar, ela shu atzmi ganvay. When it says im lo yimotzei ganav, what happened was the shamer had pretended, had presented a story about a ganav. It's been discovered not as he presented. Story was a bit different than he suggested. It was discovered not as he had told us. Rather, yeah, it was stolen, but guess by whom? Elo shehu atzmei ganav, he himself is the thief. Pasuk concludes, Yishalem shnayim, he pays double like a regular thief. So now we know that there is an idea called toyin tanas ganav. But how do we know that it involves an oath? Umanol de b'shvua, that it only happens if initially he had defended himself with a shvua. The sanya, we have a pasuk, v'nikra balabayis elohim, So the owner of the item that was entrusted by the shomer came to the bezna, him is the bezna, the shvua, to force the shomer to make a shvua in defense of his position. So you're telling me there's a shvua involved? Maybe the pasuk simply saying that I took the shomer to the bezna so that he pays for the item that was stolen. Well, nemar shlichus yad lamata. We have an expression of the in the pasuk referring to shlichus yad, where the person actually reached over and misused the item under his care. We have a down lamata, further down in the pasuk, speaking about a shemir sachar, a person who was hired to wash the item. V'nemar shlichus yad lamayla. We have the lashon shalach yad up in the beginning of the parsha by the shemir achinam, who was doing it as a favor. So we sort of make a connection, like Zerah Shavah. Ma'al halon l'shvua, afkan l'shvua, just like over there by the Shema Socha, the pasuk revolves making a shvua as well. Here as well, we're speaking about a shvua. Okay, so we see that a shomer who purported a break-in, he backed it up with a shvua. It was discovered he is the thief, he pays kefil. But we have two ways to learn the psukim. According to one brisa, both psukim and Im Loyim Motzei Aganav are both about a Torah and Tanas Ganav. Going to the other Braisa, Im Loyim Motzei Aganav. Turns out it was different in the ways that's a Torah and Tanas Ganav. But Im Motzei Aganav is a regular Ganav. Now the Gemara will analyze the psukim based on these two opinions. It works well if you hold that one is for the Ganav, one is for the Torah and Tanas Ganav. That explains why we need two psukim, two different ideas. But if both psukim are on the same topic, why two psukim? Terei kroi lamali. Amri's answer was chad lemuti tanas avad. We need one pasuk to tell you, look, toyin tanas ganav pays kefil. But if he had purported that it was lost, that's different. Toyin tanas avad pays no kefil. So that's why we need another pasuk to say, look, only by ganav, but not by tainas avad. Ulama, but according to the other shita, we have no pasuk available to teach us this wonderful halacha. Ulama da amar chad beganav, v'chad betoyin tanas ganav. According to the other approach, one is for the ganav, one is for the toyin tanas. Lumiyata is no extra pasuk. So then lumute tanas avad benol. How does he know to exempt a tanas avad from kefil? Answer, miganav haganav. It says haganav. Could have said ganav. Extra hey teaches us that only through a claim of ganav as opposed to a claim of avad. Now, according to the other approach, that both psukim on the toyin tanas ganav. Demiyatle toyin tanas avad. And one of these psukim, which was appeared to be extra, was really coming to exclude a toyin tanas avad from kefil. So then what's the extra hay of ganav? Ganav my darish. What does he do with that pasuk? What does he do with the extra hay my darish? Omar lach, he tells me, boy lik to Rabchia ba'abo, Omar b'yechna. It's for this halacha. Omar b'chia, bar abo, Omar b'yechna. Toyin tanas ganav v'pigodon, mishalant ashlume kefil. If a shomer was entrusted with an item, claimed that it was stolen, was discovered that he stole, he pays double. And likewise, tavachu machar, if he did shchit on it, or he sold it, mishalam tashlum abro chamish, he pays 4 or 5, like a regular ganav. So that's why the pasuk adds the ganav haganav. Look, we treat him like a regular ganav, with all its ramifications, kefil, even dalad v'hei, under certain circumstances. Says the Gemara, okay, what about the other shita? How does he know this? Interesting addition. According to the other shita, that one pasuk is for the ganav, one for the toyin tanas ganav, the high ganav ha ganav, afke, the extra hay of ganav ha ganav, was already used. Lumuti tanas avad. To exclude a case where he claimed that it was lost rather than stolen. So then how does he know this halacha? Right? Because we have nothing available to teach us this new halacha of da'al v'hei, of rabba v'chamish, rabchir ba'aba minale. Amalach, the response is like this. Hekeshu ve'ein mishivin ala hekesh. That since one pasuk which speaks about a ganav, and the other pasuk which speaks about a tointan is kind of close to each other, that allows us to make a connection, a hekesh, and say like this. Just like an ordinary ganav carries potential for kefil, for abor v'chamishu, likewise a tointan is ganav, despite the fact that his process is a bit more complicated. As we explained, he needs a shvur, but despite the differences between the two cases, the fact that there's a hekesh, they're close, they're stated in the psukim, close proximity, that allows for a connection without any refutations. Ve'ein meshivin ala hekesha. So we know that a regular that just like a regular ganav pays kefil and dalad vehei, likewise a toyin tanas ganav. Bishlem lemadar marchad beganav v'chad toyin tanas ganav. Shopping. So, according to the Shita, that one pasuk is for the ganav, one is for the tointanas ganav. So, you know, we learn that kefil applies to regular ganav as well, right? But according to the Shita, that both are going on a shomer who falsely pretends that there was a ganeva. So we understand that he pays kefil. But what about a regular local thief? Ganav asma minoli. How do we even know that a ganav pays kefil? Maybe only somebody who betrayed, you know, his friend, Shomer, who misused the... How do you know a regular ganav pays kefil? We don't really have a pasuk for that. V'chitim, perhaps we'll say, leisi b'kal v'chomer. Mitoy in tanas ganav. Perhaps a regular ganav can be derived, interesting, can be derived through a kal v'chomer from a toyin tanas ganav. How? Even a shomer who took possession of this item legally, better, it was given to him as a you know, a deposit, right? So if he betrays the owner's trust, if he diverts it, if he misuses it, he pays kefil. Certainly a ganav comes middle of the night and steals something, of course he pays kefil. Is that a fear, drasha, says the Gemara? But yeah, to a certain extent, but still, daya love him in adin is kanita. Whenever we learn from a kal v'chomer, the derivative has to be similar to the source. So, you know, the thing that you're trying to learn can't be more severe, higher, and greater than the source where it's coming from, right? Makes sense, right? So, ma lahalam b'shvua, afkan b'shvua. So, where are we learning a regular ganav from? From a shomer who was a toyin tanas ganav. Okay, it's fair, but perhaps he has to conform to the same conditions as a shomer, as a toyin tanas ganav, who requires a shvua, as we explained before, to trigger the halacha of toyin tanas ganav. So, perhaps a regular ganav is only going to pay kefil if he was caught and he swore falsely, right? But otherwise, there's no kefil. Really? How do we know a regular ganav pays kefil? Nafkali mitana bechizkiah, says the Gemara, we have a teres to that. From the Braisa taught in Beis Medrash of Chizkiah, which begins a whole new discussion. Bezras Hashem will pick it up tomorrow. So, bottom line, we've learned today that just as a ganav pays kefil, a toyin tanas ganav pays kefil as well. A shomer was entrusted with an item, took it for himself, after having claimed that it was stolen and made a shvua as such, it was discovered that he took it, pays kefil, and we learn that kefil applies to practically anything that was stolen. We have some exceptions. One is karka, one is avodim, one is shtoris, one is davar she'ein mesuyim. We found the source of a toyin tanas ganav, and now we're looking for a source for the ganav who pays kefil. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.